Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and thank you all for your continuous support and for tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. On today's episode, I had the chance to speak with Aubert Michaud, who is associate researcher for the Organisme de Bassin Versant de la Baie Missisquoi and an associate professor of water engineering at the Université de Laval. Recently, the Organisme de Bassin Versant de la Baie Missisquoi, OBVBM for short, put a call out into the community, Imbro Missisquoi, and beyond, to be cautious of the cyanobacteria blooms that were appearing in our region's water bodies once again, otherwise known as blue-green algae. With the warm weather and vast amounts of precipitation, the OBVBM says that people need to remain cautious as we head into the fall season and avoid going into any water bodies that present any blue-green algae. Because as Aubert noted, summer is not yet over. We chat with Aubert about the situation, what is currently taking place in the water bodies here in Imbro Missisquoi, why a blue-green algae presence exists, and what can be implemented to protect our water bodies. We hope you enjoy our conversation. Aubert, we are here today because there was some information that came out from your organization, the Organisme de Bassin Versant de la Baie Missisquoi, warning Imbro Missisquoi citizens to just be cautious of the cyanobacteria blooms in the region's water bodies due to the weather that we've been experiencing over the last couple of weeks. So I was just wondering if the situation has changed, or do people still need to be cautious as we head further into September?
Today, the situation is, one would say, calming down. Actually, the cyanobacteria blooms have been pretty severe this summer and late too. So we are experiencing severe blooms like in the Missisquoi Bay right now. And also in Carmi Lake in Vermont, which is a source of the Pike River. And actually, the bloom is so severe that with additional, you know, runoff water, the water rise, and then we have transport of the cyanobacteria, you know, within the river. We have to be cautious, you know, about those cyanobacteria presence in those lakes and river, in fact, because, yes, they are really harmful.
Yeah, and you're mentioning some of the areas that you found some of the blue-green algae. And I was wondering, in what areas of Imbro Missisquoi, were there other areas as well where your organization picked up on this and where you've been seeing this happening quite often over the last little while?
Well, unfortunately, there's no alerts, you know, or governmental information, you know, in the states of, you know, cyanobacteria blooms in the province. It used to be. That's not the case anymore. So it's typically local observation that we gather, like we're involved into monitoring waters in the area. So for sure, the Missisquoi Bay is, again, this year severely impacted. As I mentioned, Carmi Lake, but the thing is, the Pike River itself will be impacted, you know, from the cyanobacteria, you know, traveling down from Carmi Lake and maybe some additional, you know, nutrient input on the way. So we've been having a lot of surface runoff, a lot of sediment and phosphorus transport into the lakes and river system, you know, this spring, especially this summer. So that, And you know, the phosphorus really is the main trigger of those blooms. Most cyanobacteria, you know, can fix nitrogen from the atmosphere, but really the phosphorus is the trigger. So a lot of intense rain, a lot of surface runoff. That means that a lot of phosphorus came into the water bodies. That's why we have such a severe cyanobacteria blooms. And of course, hot water didn't help.
Yeah, so basically it's the rain and the warm weather that basically contributes to this. That's basically what happens. That's what I'm understanding correctly.
Exactly, Taylor. Where we would call it like diffuse, you know, contamination. That means that the whole area that can contribute. And of course, especially the farmlands where we are adding manure and mineral phosphorus, you know, to fertilize the crops, okay?
Yes.
But when we get that such intense precipitation, you know, the soil gets saturated, so the water, you know, will run down at surface, and this is where it picks up fine sediments and that carries particulate phosphorus, like which could be very bioavailable, going from the fields to the ditch and streams, and then ultimately to Missisquoi Bay. So that's it. It's really an exceptional intensity, you know, and frequency of thunderstorm we had that summer has been, the driver for this.
Yes. Yes. We've had a lot of rain over the summer and even going into the early fall, we've had a lot of rain. And, you know, I'm really curious, how do you think these types of situations can be avoided? What do you think we can do to help protect our lakes and our rivers and from having these, having this phosphorus go into the water? What do you think we can do? What steps can be taken so that we don't keep seeing this happening?
Actually, there's contribution. Most phosphorus actually came from the runoff from farmland, at least about 70%. Okay, and then we have some post contribution, you know, from the sewage waters in our area. Actually, there's a couple, you know, of wastewater facility that need replacement. Actually, that's been putting in place, especially in Notre Dame de Stadbridge and at Gulliver. So there's a new station that's gonna be installed. But regarding the dominant source, there's been a lot of actions, you know, going on, you know, research action projects, and there's funding for available for farmers really to protect their soil. So that's kind of the, you know, the first line of defense, like covering the soil in the fall, you know, leaving, for example, corn residues at the surface to prevent surface runoff. But some crops do not have much residue, you know, like soya, there's a lot of soybean. It becomes interesting to put some intercrops, like cover crops, you know, to cover the soil during the dominant runoff season. So, you know, we had a lot of runoff this summer, but typically most of the runoff will come in the springtime. Okay. So we don't want to have bare soil at that time. So that's a very, that's an important one. So, in cropping systems, you know, get the soil protected by cover crops or crop residues. Another important line of defense, so we had a lot of animals in the area, so it means a lot of manure. Actually, 60% of the phosphorus comes from manure itself, and this is where we can have good success, you know, in reducing phosphorus input into the rivers by optimizing, you know, the manure management. That means, you know, apply it in period where there's lower risk of runoff and incorporating the manure. And also, you know, using equipment like those big tanks typically that are used. So, well, unfortunately, when you apply manure in the early spring, like before seeding or after harvest, I mean, we are compacting the soil and increasing the risk of possible runoff. And so there's alternate ways, you know, to manage manure, especially when we get alternate cropping systems, like for example, just wheat. You know, we all eat you know, cereals, and as human and animals do too. But when you think of it, 90% of the bread we're eating are, you know, it's wheat that comes from outside, you know, outside Quebec. So there's a lot of place, you know, to put some cereals, you know, small grains in. That opens all the opportunity, you know, to put the manure during summertime where there's less runoff and improve the soil by cover crops. So that's another line of defense in improving the cropping systems to optimize manure management and also increase the efficiencies of our cover crops. And last thing is protect, you know, our streams, putting buffers in. Okay, stream buffers and manage, you know, those vulnerable floodplains. So there's a lot of floodplains in the area near the streams, very vulnerable again to runoff, and so there's a way to keep those vegetated. But it's been a lot of a project in that sense over the actually the last decade. So this is pretty good investment because it lasts. When you improve, you know, with shrubs, you know, or even tree lines, you know, a riparian, you know, zone or next to the stream, so it's a long-term improvement. So basically, that's the forerunner of defense.
Okay. So yeah, like you mentioned, there's been a lot of initiatives. I know rainwater gardens are a big project going on right now as well, and municipalities, those who live along the lakes, they're asking people to put bushes that can, you know, soak up this rainwater runoff rather than having it go into the lakes. And I was wondering, do you think that, you know, municipalities are providing citizen support when doing these type of projects? And do you think that needs to continue? Do you think support for these types of initiatives needs to continue growing and needs to continue being, continue happening?
Yes, actually, Bedford City is pretty active in that, in that matter. Well, the problem, you know, is that the design of our sewage, you know, may be combining, you know, storm water and dark waters, you know, so at one time the systems can just overflow, and that is for providing significant phosphorus, you know, to the river systems, and that's important for every citizen in the city. I mean, managing its own surface water, you know, could be collecting waters or providing, you know, infiltration, you know, get maybe the asphalt out of there, you know, and provide, you know, infiltration in our own area. With respect to city infrastructures, yes, and cities been quite active, you know, into those kind of initiatives as well, you know, to improve water infiltration. That means you're having less runoff, you know, getting into the sewage systems, and you reduce the overflows.
I was wondering, Aubert, this was just out of my curiosity. The Bay Missisquoi, what water bodies does the Bay Missisquoi cover exactly? Are you able to give me some examples of that? I'm just curious geographically what the Bay Missisquoi is.
Actually, the Bay Missisquoi is the northern tip of Lake Champlain, which actually is the sixth Great Lakes of America. Okay, and actually the Missisquoi Bay, if you consider its watershed, actually the water input comes at 40%, you know, from Quebec, and 60% from Vermont. Okay, so this is transboundary, overall watershed, mm-hmm. And the dominant rivers like the Pike River, the Rock River, and Missisquoi River are all transboundaries. It's a concerted effort, you know, from Vermont and Quebec, you know, to reduce the phosphorus loading out there. And actually, in 2021, government of Quebec signed up, you know, or renewed this agreement with Vermont to meet those phosphorus, you know, target concentrations and to the Missisquoi Bay.
Okay, I was very curious. So thank you so much for clearing that up. Well, those are all the questions that I had for you about the situation that we have been seeing here in the region in Brome Missisquoi, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention about the cyanobacteria blooms that you think would be important for the citizens to be aware of.
Yes, I would say, especially for the farming community, so there's opportunities out there for technical support and financial support especially regarding cover croppings, getting into fall now. So we're going to be harvesting, you know, the soybean pretty soon. So there's opportunity, you know, to actually get some backup, financial backup to install those cover crops. And for the overall community, I mean, we might have, again, some warm weather. I mean, we haven't finished with summer yet. And again, be cautious. If you see some blue-green algae, prevent kids and yourself, even your animals, to go in that water.
Well, thank you so much again, Aubert. And if there's ever anything, any interesting projects that you're doing or anything of the sorts, please feel free to reach out to us. If there's ever anything interesting going on with your organization that you want to get out there.
With pleasure, Taylor. Thank you for your interest.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.